It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
It is Wednesday, my dudes. Welcome in to the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime is on your airwaves, clocking in at 6:02 on your hump day. Tanner Carson, Julia Ramsey, intern Will Stevens are with you today here, getting set for another great edition of Overtime. We will be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight, per usual here, rounding out your Wednesday. Hope everyone's had a fantastic day out there. Hope everybody's been able to stay dry as well. Some much-needed rain has moved through East Tennessee and the Knoxville area today. So good to see that. Glad we are not going through a drought. That's something that I will always welcome. With that out of the way, how's everybody doing today? Checking in on your bright, smiley faces.
Pretty good, yeah. Not doing too bad.
Well,
halfway through the week.
Well, how are you?
I can't complain. Wednesday's my favorite day of the week.
Wait. Why is Wednesday your favorite day of the week?
Because
hump day.
Friday, I think, is a little overrated because, like...
Oh, Friday's overrated!
You still have to go to work, and you still have to do the things you're supposed to do. I think Saturday is the best day out of all the days.
Saturday is the best
day. But the best weekday is Wednesday because really? Thursday is just such a tease because you know it's almost Friday. You know it's almost Friday. But when you get to Wednesday and you know you only got 2 days left, you're counting it down. And also, it has the greatest vine to go with it of "It's Wednesday, my dudes."
Hey, we do have audio of that. I should have told you that. I don't know what folder it's in.
We need to get him on that.
Looking six. It's six or three, something like that. Tell me if you find that, because we do have audio of that. Cole knew where it was, but I completely forgot all about that. But, Will, you're the first person I've ever met who said Wednesday was their favorite day of the week, at least of the weekdays. That's, I respect the take. I completely disagree with you. I hate Wednesdays a lot. I think it just makes it even more of a grind. It makes it a slow grind of the week.
I agree. Because you know you're like halfway there, but you also have halfway to go. So it's like, ugh.
I think no day is worse than Tuesday, though.
Tuesday's the worst.
I hate Tuesday.
Tuesday is the worst.
The only good thing that Tuesday brings you more is Taco Tuesday, and if you go to one of your favorite watering holes that has trivia, a lot of places have trivia on Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's about the only good things.
That's true.
Tuesday, just, mad day. At least in football season on Mondays, at least you got Monday Night Football to look forward to. If you're a wrestling fan, you have Monday Night Raw as well. So Monday's not all that bad. I know people love to hate on Mondays. Tuesday, Wednesday get my hate.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday do get my hate a lot more. Were you able to find that, by the way?
I looked through all of them. I could not find it.
It's in
Wednesday.
There somewhere.
It is in there somewhere, but we'll revisit that later. Will, I will ask you if you can take us to the Fox Sports Knoxville Breaking News Desk. I go to 247sports.com here, an article by Gabe Brooks. The pursuit for the nation's top 2020 uncommitted quarterback came to an end today when the Texas A&M Aggies landed a commitment from Longview High School, 2020 four-star dual-threat quarterback Haynes King. Hello!
I don't like this breaking news today as much as I did yesterday's breaking news.
We went from yesterday, the beer permit, to today it's...
not a fan.
This Haynes King watch has been going on for a while, man. I remember...
Feels like Kerry Blackshear 2.0.
It felt like the same thing. Probably even took longer the entire process, too. We were talking about this almost every day when Cole was still here before he left, and he did the daily recruiting update. It was a Haynes King update every day.
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to decide? Is he not going to decide? Well, he's made his decision. The Texas native is staying home, much to the chagrin of Vol Nation here, Tennessee, had been in a really good place with the dual threat prospect out of the Lone Star State. He's going to the SEC. However, he's staying home to play for Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies here. Looking more at this piece from 247. It says, the athletic East Texas standout made an official visit the weekend of May 31st to Aggieland after Texas A&M initially offered him May 7th. Head coach Jimbo Fisher's reputation as a quarterback guru played a significant role in King's decision. King told 247 Sports recently, Jimbo, he's proven to develop quarterbacks and put them into the league. He's been very successful at that. He coaches you hard, and I'm used to that. He coaches you like you're his son. He's going to be there for you and care for you. But when it came down to practice time, he's going to get on you because it's for the better. Number 79 overall player in the 2020 class currently. Number 3 nationally in 2020 dual threat quarterbacks. Number 13th overall player in the state of Texas. This is the composite rankings.
Yeah.
Of course, Haynes King at last made an official visit to Tennessee last month, the weekend of June 7th. Then after that, he visited Auburn and Duke, but it was really going to come down to either Tennessee or A&M. You thought that some people said the longer this took, it might have been better for Tennessee. It turns out it wasn't the case. You probably had a lot more time for Fisher and A&M to build a relationship with King and his family. And when you got the home state school, when you got the school that's about, what, an hour away from you, your dad's a high school coach in Texas. If you're Tennessee, you had a lot of stuff working against you here.
That's true.
Tennessee obviously was planning on taking two quarterbacks in the 2020 class. You already have Harrison Baylor, who's been committed for a while now. He was pretty much going to be solid no matter whether you took a commitment from King or not. So not panicking too bad on that front. You pretty much have your quarterback for this class already.
Yeah.
Haynes King was something of, hey, you get two really talented guys that have different skill sets. It's going to be a win-win for you. It's going to be an insurance option for whether one of them did not pan out.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't have that, though. Give you an update on Tennessee in the 2020 class. After making a lot of improvement over the last month, things have kind of slowed down a little bit. Long time to go. Obviously, we are in the middle of July, but national rank in the 2020 class, 29th. According to 247, 11th in the SEC, which is really the number you don't like.
Yeah.
A lot of time left, though.
A lot of time, you're right.
You've been getting a lot of good luck, man. You got Keyshawn Lawrence to commit. You had great commitments for the class of 2021. You had T. Hodge commit as well.
Yeah, we were on a good little stretch there.
You know, this is everything that really started snowballing with the commitment of Cooper Mays.
Yes.
And you have a strikeout right here. So, initial reaction to Haynes King choosing to stay in state and play for the Aggies?
Just a little bit disappointing. I mean, it makes sense, in my opinion, with, you know, him being closer to Texas A&M, being a Texas, you know, boy and all. But, yeah, it's disappointing. It would have been nice to have him, nice to have that option, nice to see him and Harrison Bailey kind of duke it out for that starting role, ensuring us, you know, the best option. But then again, I feel really confident with Harrison Bailey. I like his commitment to the program already. So, you know, not all so bad.
It's hard not to love Harrison Bailey already. And this is really something that, you know, you already have, in most people's minds, your guy at this position.
Yes.
So at least you have that positive to fall back on here. Harrison Bailey ranked a little lower than Haynes King as far as overall rankings go, but he's right there. He's 120th overall in the class of 2020, number 5 pro-style quarterback, top 15 player, and the always loaded state of Georgia down there in Marietta.
Mm-hmm.
This is according to the 247 composite here. There's been those nice pieces about how Harrison Bailey, he's taken upon himself to be the recruiter.
Yeah, he's out here really recruiting for us.
Yeah.
He's taken that role that you've seen in past years. Vic Wharton, Todd Kelly Jr., Trey Smith, Khalil McKenzie take when it comes to getting guys to join them in their own class. Obviously, being down there in Marietta, he's very close with a lot of talented players as
well. Yes, he is. That's good for us.
And you can certainly pay dividends down the road. So this isn't like you struck out on a five-star offensive tackle.
Yes.
This isn't like you're getting to be really positive about Rakeem Jarrett again to only have him go to Maryland or something like that, which, I mean, it's like still a possibility.
Yeah, but, it is.
I really don't want to talk
about
that.
But we got Harrison Bailey in his ear, so.
You do have Harrison Bailey committed here. You got a quarterback. Tennessee's probably still going to take another one. You'll probably see him take a three-star somewhere outside of Hanks King. I'm going to have to check to see what 2020 quarterbacks Tennessee has offered. You may this week or in the next 2 weeks here of the Vols sending an offer to another quarterback that they had not offered before. You have to have a plan B in this case right here.
Yeah.
Are we worrying right now in the middle of July about maybe this lull in recruiting right now? Or do we think that this might just come in waves like it did with the Cooper Mays, T. Hodge, Keyshawn Lawrence commits? Because when Cole was here, the former Fox Sports Knoxville recruiting expert asked him all the time, you know, are you afraid that this is going to slow right now? Do you feel like we may be in danger of falling behind some other schools in the conference right now? I feel like some people might be worried we're at that point again.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want to be 11th in the SEC in recruiting for this next cycle. That's definitely not where you want to be. But I'm not too worried. I think that, you know, the coaching staff knows what they're doing, and they've got plans.
Speaking of Marietta, by the way, one of the dudes, now this is a long shot here as far as you got the home state Georgia Bulldogs to consider to be that odds-on favorite here. But his teammate Marietta, Harrison Bailey's, you're talking about one of the best overall players in the class of 2020. I'm talking about five-star Eric Gilbert, tight end at Marietta, top 15 player in the class, number 2 overall player in Georgia.
Yeah.
So if Harrison Bailey delivers you something like that, you know, that's going to be huge. You're still in a lot of these big, big needle-moving prospects here. Talking about Darnell Washington out of Las Vegas. I already mentioned Eric Gilbert as well. Rakeem Jarrett, even though he's still technically an LSU commit, you know, how serious of a commit is he?
Right.
In-state, this is another one that's going to be a long process here because he's most likely an Alabama lean. But out of Brentwood at Ravenwood High School, we got Reggie Grimes, the defensive end. So you got a lot of guys that you're still into that can... talking about Jay Hardy as well at the Macaulay School, another defensive end prospect that you're feeling really good about here too. You can get some big time guys right here. It's just always really hurts when you're really, really close with this guy right here.
Yeah.
It's insurance for this class. It's insurance for, you know, if Harrison Bailey didn't work out, maybe you take that skill set of Haynes King. You know, it's something completely different. And by all means, if you're going to have Jim Chaney be your offensive coordinator for the foreseeable future, you would feel more comfortable with a pro-style type of quarterback. But, man, if you can play, you can play.
Yeah. So
that's what sucks about losing Haynes King. But other than that, I'm not really pushing the panic button yet.
No. It could be another scenario where, you know, we get one big recruit and then it kind of is a domino effect like it was with Cooper Mays. You know, we got his commitment, and then, you know, week or two after that, you see, you know, four or five more come in. So
yeah, it's like recruiting in my mind is the same way as like NBA free agency worked this past summer, where all it takes is these guys are kind of talking behind the scenes, we don't really know what's going on, and it all just takes that first person to put their name out there, and then the next person will put their name out there. So it's just who wants to make the first step. So I don't think this is that worrisome of us not landing him, because obviously we weren't the odds in favorite to get him. We had our chances going up and up and up, but we have Harrison Bailey, who's helping us keep our Marietta pipeline alive, which is a very, very big deal. And we're also getting the guys in our backyard that Butch Jones could not do. He couldn't land guys in our backyard with Cooper Mays' brother Cade, who went to Georgia, And if you can't get the guys in your backyard, you're not going to be able to recruit, period. So I'm my hand's over the panic button, but I'm not even anywhere close to pushing the panic button yet.
Yeah, just calm down, breathe easy, I guess. It's just a crappy way to start the show, though. We should go start out with better news like we did with the beer board approval yesterday. But
yeah, that was fun.
All can't be
we
sunshine.
We got it
rainbows.
Out of the way, though.
All can't be sunshine.
Got
rainbows,
this one out of the way.
Yeah, got out of the way. Nothing but looking up from here on out until 8 o'clock. I promise you that. If you'd like to give us a call on the Next Door Home Group hotline, just give us a ring at 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Will greet you as you call in. We're going to hit the first break of overtime. We got a lot more on the way, so stick with us here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. We're back on overtime, 865-546-8200 off on the Next Door Home Group hotline here. Day 3, SEC Media Days. We're underway today in Hoover. I mean, once Tennessee goes, and unless someone has a completely insane soundbite, my attention doesn't go back to SEC Media Days a lot.
I'm the same way.
Really kind of boring day today outside of Alabama, I guess, just because Alabama cannot be boring when they bring their legion of gumps.
Yeah.
To media days. Did you see the two people dressed as Bear Bryant?
No. Oh, no.
Let me show y'all this picture.
Are they there together or like two
they
separate?
They were there together.
Together. Got
I have
it.
Not yet seen a picture of that one dude with the glasses who always wears like the big ring hat.
That's what I was about to ask you about.
Yeah.
If I was him, I probably wouldn't have shown up this year, or at least don't wear that ring hat, man. I've said it before. I'll say it again. The last time we saw your football team on the field, they got absolutely spanked by Clemson in a national championship.
44-16.
44-16.
Sounds so good.
You know what's crazy, too? That's by score margin, that is the worst Alabama loss I have witnessed in my adult life.
Yeah.
That was like, what, their largest loss since 2004?
It had
I
been.
Think
like,
right around
period.
There, yeah.
Even when they were mediocre, they weren't really losing games by that many points.
No, they never would get
you know, us, we got, out. We have two blowouts by Oregon. Alabama's beating us by 45 and 42 points. We have blowout losses to Florida in some years.
2017, we lost to Georgia like
41-0 to Georgia.
Yeah.
We got a lot of really, really bad ones. Even
really
when
bad.
Even when Alabama was really sucking under Mike Shula, you know, they still hung in there for the most part.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was something completely unforeseen. If I'm that dude, I definitely don't show up. This is real. These two dudes. Here's his picture.
Oh, man.
Two old dudes. I'm trying to show Periscope here. These two, older gentlemen here. They got the hat. They have the, they have this little like, coat, the
I
tie.
I guess that's okay. It's a little bit more low-key than the other guy.
That's just so, only them, right?
Yeah, no.
Like, we don't have.
We don't have crazy, I mean, we have crazy fans, but we don't have fans going there dressing up like Phil Fulmer.
That's what I was about to say. Our most beloved coach of all time. You don't have a heavier set Tennessee fan trying to dress up like Fulmer. You don't have older Tennessee fans trying to dress like Robert Neyland. You don't have anything like that. And there's crazies all over. As far as like the people that wear the crazy outfits, it's got to be Bama and Georgia, right?
Yes.
Because you'll have those Georgia fans, they wear like those spiked shoulder pads.
Yep.
Really, really weird.
I don't care who you are. Those things are probably one of the cringiest things in SEC college football. The spike shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Just wearing shoulder pads in general, like you're not even playing football. What are you doing, man? You look like a huge dork.
Yeah, you really do.
What's the more cringier fan base as far as how they like to dress themselves? Is it Georgia's or is it Alabama's, or am I missing another wild card here? Because
I'm sure you're missing a wild card if I got I'm to sure think, but I think Georgia is worse.
LSU fans can get some gaudy looking stuff.
Yeah.
But nothing's as cringy as I know
Florida
Alabama.
State fans, there's like a duo that usually paints their whole body garnet and gold.
Oh, those guys.
And they're
yeah,
on
but the
TV.
It looks
all
like
the
glittery.
Time. Yeah, yeah.
Those guys have been around for decades. Yeah, that
so,
is cringy.
I mean, that's not too bad, but
Ohio
it's
State
kind
is,
of over the top.
Ohio State has a couple like really cringy super yeah. fans. There's the one that's like a cowboy dresses in all white, and there's the big nut dude, that
oh, yeah.
that big
yeah.
old dude whose face is always scarlet and gray. That's pretty bad, but I don't know. I don't know if anyone can match Alabama and having two dudes dress as their coach who's been dead for almost 40 years. I mean, if you really want to dress as Bear Bryant, just wear a skeleton costume and just put a fedora
RIP,
on there.
Yeah.
You think they signed like any fake autographs pretending
to be? Oh, I'm sure
to
they took several pictures from all those dumb gumps, put it on their Facebook. Look here, I found the bear!
This is the one from Forrest Gump.
I found the bear! Ugh, just makes me completely cringe for you. Other than that, pretty boring day, man. Mississippi State, they'll have a good season, I'm sure, but nothing excites me about Mississippi State.
Nothing
excites me about Joe Moorhead. He's just an okay coach. Yeah, Will Muschamp in South Carolina. Nothing excites me about them. And then you had Arkansas. Who cares? Yeah, that's the,
are you guys going to win an SEC game this season?
That's like the one team in this whole entire conference over this past decade. I'd say, you know what? I'd be anybody else but them.
Yeah.
Because they have actually had it worse.
I'd say so.
The only difference is they didn't have a big fall from grace.
Can you imagine if we didn't win one SEC game
in a
season?
I mean, that happened 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It did happen.
That's right.
It did
that's
happen,
right.
Julia. How soon we forget.
I blocked that out of my memory.
As you should. It did happen.
It
we
did
just,
happen. Yeah.
We just won our non-conference games.
Yes.
Arkansas couldn't even stay within four touchdowns of North Texas.
Yeah.
And they allowed the most hilarious punt return I've ever seen in my entire life.
They're pretty bad.
Finally, they knew how we felt for the Joe Adams punt return when they let that North Texas dude act like he called for a fair catch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, boring day. And then tomorrow, what do you have? You have Vandy and Kentucky tomorrow on the same day.
That's not going to be interesting.
That's
either.
Disgusting. Who's the last team? Who hasn't went yet? Oh, who has not went yet? Ole Miss, Mississippi State have went.
Do they
LSU's
just have two
went.
Tomorrow? Or
no,
three?
There's three. There's three. Missouri has went.
Has Georgia gone?
Georgia
went on
yesterday.
The first day. My bad, yeah.
Who are we missing? Ole Miss is gone.
Let me just, I think it might, maybe Auburn. I think
oh,
it might,
it's Auburn.
It is Auburn.
It is Auburn.
It's Auburn.
I was about to look at the schedule, but then I realized, oh, yeah, Auburn still has to go. So, that still being in Alabama, maybe they'll bring, like, their own little group of fans.
Well, speaking of the super fan that you were just talking about, a caller just called in. Let me know a little fun fact. Apparently, Bear Bryant never beat the General.
No, he never did.
Never could get by General Nealon. I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that? That's a little fun fact to hang your hat on. Bear Bryant also said that Nealon taught him almost everything he knew about coaching college football.
Yeah.
So that's also fun. I think, what's his record? It's like zero wins, of course, like five or six losses and a couple ties. So the closest he was able to get was tying him. So that's nice, I guess. But, yeah, just cringy Alabama fans today. I don't think there was really any highlight as far as sound bites go.
It was just Nick Saban whining. Those were all the only sound bites I saw come across my timeline.
Do we know if he tried to one-up Pruitt as far as the filibuster opening statement? Because I'm sure Saban doesn't want one of his protégés hating the media more than he does.
I don't know how long he talked for. Surely not as long as Pruitt.
Of course, Nick Saban was asked a lot about the 44-16 blowout loss to Clemson, which is also, to no surprise, it was the biggest loss of Saban's Alabama tenure as well. Still not admitting that Clemson was just the better team.
He did not admit that.
There's this long quote from Saban here. I'm going to read some of this. Instead of saying that Clemson was better, apparently Saban was talking about distractions his team suffered.
Oh, they were distracted.
Saban's making excuses.
Gotcha.
That's apparently what's happening. Here's some of what Saban had to say about Clemson. He said, I think if you're a great competitor and you were in a game like we were for the national championship and you didn't perform very well and given all much the credit to the other team who beat us and took advantage of the opportunities that they have, not to take anything away from them, but if you're a competitor, you're going to respond in a positive way and learn from the things that you didn't do, whether those things were in preparation, game day decisions, you know, the habits that you created leading up to the game the second half of the season. All of those things contribute to, are we going to be able to have success against one of the best teams or the best team in the country? And we obviously didn't do that. That's my responsibility.
Mm.
So it's Alabama's fault, not Clemson just being better. I mean, if you're Saban, you're not really used to one team just clearly being that much better. I wonder if he knows how to say that.
I think he knows how good he is, and he doesn't ever want to man up and admit that he got completely out-coached, out-played, out-done in one game.
He did the same thing 4 years ago at SEC Media Days because the previous season they lost in the first ever college football playoff to Ohio State.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott, Cardell Jones, that crew. He said of that game, our team chemistry from the SEC championship game to the playoff game was affected by something.
Oh, my God.
And he suggested that the something was feedback from the NFL Draft Advisory Committee. He's saying some of his juniors were affected by their draft stock.
Oh,
and they were
my
thinking
goodness.
About the
draft. That's a little.
Oh.
So they played worse so their draft stock would plummet? Is that what he's hinting at?
I don't get his logic. He just really doesn't want to admit that he got his ass kicked.
I mean,
on the grandest stage of them all.
He refuses to.
I could understand if it was like a 28-7 or 28-10 kind of blowout, but kind of just like one team was better, but there could have been distractions or something. But a 44-16 loss and your biggest loss ever in your coaching career, or at Alabama, I mean, like, there's no excuse behind it. That's just one team being way better than the other team.
I mean, Clemson was clearly the superior team to Alabama by halftime. And then they just put it on in the second half. When you allow those underclassmen wide receivers at Clemson to tear up your highly respected defense like that, I don't think you can blame it on yourself.
Mm-mm.
I really don't think you can. You just got destroyed by better players. You got destroyed by, you know, Justin Ross. You got destroyed by T. Higgins, Amari Rodgers.
Those two names right there.
All those guys. Trevor Lawrence. Clearly, for that might be the thing that he got torn to shreds by a true freshman.
Yeah, he really did.
And a guy, if the past few years of college football, the trend of Alabama meeting Clemson every postseason, it continues that way. He's not seen the last of Trevor Lawrence.
Oh no!
And Trevor Lawrence is only going to get better. So he's just in denial.
Always.
I would love to see another ass kicking at the hands of Clemson. just please let it happen. Then maybe he won't be in denial that much anymore. I will gladly take Dabo's goofy ass being the king of college football. That means that I don't have to deal with Alabama anymore.
Yeah.
Gladly.
For now.
Even if that means the price is maybe take a couple people out of our backyard. Would that suck? Yeah, but... Yeah, at least they're not going to Alabama. At least they wouldn't be going to Georgia. If it was that or nothing, I guess that's the price I would have to pay.
I guess.
865-546-8200, 865-546-8200 to get a hold of us on the Nextdoor Home Network hotline. We're going to hit another break and come back with more overtime right after this. The segment is brought to you by the Nextdoor Home Group with Eli Corum with Keller Williams Realty. They're also the proud sponsors of the phone lines here at Fox Sports Knoxville. The Nextdoor Home Group and Eli Corum. They're in the top 5% realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. Very straightforward team who gets the job done with money left in your pocket, which gives you a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience. Eli Corum has a top-notch team, which has the most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry. Negotiation and customer service skills that are unmatched in the real estate market as well. No gimmicks, just results. Give them a call at 865-233-9461, 865-233-9461, or visit their website, nextdoorhomes.com. Once again, that's Eli Corum with the Next Door Home Group with Keller Williams Realty, proud sponsors of the Fan Run phone lines here. Give us a call on the phone lines, 865-546-8200, to hop aboard here. Oh, great news today. We started out with the bad when we talked about Haynes King. This will make you feel a whole lot better. I've never seen a man who deserves a payday like this in quite some time. Tennessee today has rewarded tight ends coach Brian Niedermeyer for his outstanding work on the recruiting trail. The 247 Sports National Recruiter of the Year. He's had his annual base salary bumped up from just $150,000 to $350,000.
That's right.
$200,000 base pay raise. This is according to the contract amendment released by Tennessee today. His 2018 salary was $200,000, and he was also the lowest paid coach on the staff. Oh, he's getting appreciated. Oh, he's getting appreciated. He has also had his contract with Tennessee rolled over another year, and his deal with the Vols now runs through the end of January 2021. This is according to the amendment, which was signed and executed at the end of last month, now made publicly available today. Niedermeyer was Tennessee's lead recruiter for the five-star offensive tackle Darnell Wright and four-star linebackers Henry Toa and Corvarius Crouch, four-star defensive back Tyus Fields, and both of the tight ends have all signed, four-star Jackson Lowe and three-star Sean Brown.
Shoo-wee.
Oh, Moose! Moose! I need to get a Moose soundbite.
Yes.
I really need to get a Moose soundbite anytime Niedermeyer is putting him work on the trail.
Which is quite often.
Very often. Never really stops. Something about it, man. He's been such a fast riser throughout this coaching game. He used to just be a GA with Jeremy Pruitt at Georgia and Alabama. And, man, he has shot up the ranks very quickly.
He really has.
Very, very quickly. He obviously has a future that's beyond just being here at Tennessee. But, man, for the time that you have him, though, you hold on to him for as long as possible. If he continues to prove his worth as a coach, you give him any type of promotion as far as coach he may want. And you keep giving that money to keep giving you those results in the recruiting trail.
Yep, I agree.
Oh, I love it. Is Brian Niedermeyer the most important assistant on the entire staff? Is that a stretch to say? Or, I mean, I'm talking Chaney. I'm talking Ansley. I'm talking Coach Fitzgerald in strength and conditioning.
I don't know.
Lay your takes down now. Who is your most important assistant?
That's a stretch. I'm saying Chaney. You can't – I mean, our offense – I mean, obviously, if our offense comes out and looks completely stale, doesn't do anything, and there's just no magic with Jim Chaney, I will obviously change my answer. But as of right now, the way our offense looked last season, and especially our rushing game with just nothing going and still having a decent passing game but not being able to do anything because our rushing game was so bad, that it has to be Chaney just on the sole fact that that was our weakest and worst spot last year, and we have to improve it.
Yeah, but you could also argue that Niedermeyer is the one bringing the recruits to Chaney for him to do his job. So, first you got to get him here.
That is fair. Chaney did just lose a recruit an hour ago in Haynes King because he was his big guy. So,
yeah,
you do make a good point, but I'm still saying Chaney just because the offense is the one thing that needs the most work as a whole.
Chaney is up there.
Maybe.
Can't forget about T either.
I was about to say T. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to see how the wide receivers look this year because that's going to be his bread and butter. Other than that, though, you want to talk about great recruiters. I mean, T. Martin's already, like Niedermeyer, he's been named a National Recruiter of the Year. Mm-hmm. He has several 5-stars under his belt as well. T, though, I'm pretty much with everyone else who thinks that it's probably going to be 2-3 years max that he's going to be at Tennessee.
Yeah, that could happen.
I mean, he inherited a lot of talent with the – Jeremy Pruitt said it yesterday at SEC Media Day talking about the depth and the upperclassmen we have at wide receiver. So on the playing field so far, we haven't seen anything of T. Martin's recruits or development because he got handed Juwan Jennings, Josh Palmer, all of these very high upperclassmen guys who have already put a name out for themselves at Tennessee.
Yeah.
How long do you think we hold on to Niedermeyer while we're staying on him here?
Hopefully forever.
I think this is somebody,
just lock him
forever
down.
Would be nice.
Lock him down as a tight end coach
a
until the end of time.
A lifetime contract like just Calipari's got.
He'll as a tight ends coach, he'll be making more money per year than most D1 head coaches. It's like, I'm just comfortable with it. You know how there's some coaches who make entire careers out being coordinators? Maybe he can just do the same except a tight ends coach.
Yeah.
I mean, based on the way he's recruiting and based on the way that obviously we're showing him enough love and enough pay, obviously, I think we hold on to him for a little bit longer than maybe we were thinking about before. But I don't know. If he keeps trending up the way he is with his recruiting and abilities, you can't keep a dude from an actual head coach or coordinator spot at a different school, regardless of anything that happens at Tennessee, unless you throw a bank at him and keep him as a tight ends coach.
He is only 30 years old.
Yeah, he's young. He's got a lot left.
From by the way, Eagle River, Alaska.
So cool.
You're going to be a badass if you're from there. He just graduated college in 2012. Arkansas Pine Bluff. Already, he's got National Recruiter of the Year. He just had his pay multiplied. Man, gotta love it. Guy, absolutely love it. This is a guy, he started as a student assistant, Pine Bluff, volunteer at Miami, wide receivers coach at East Texas Baptist, and then a GA for 2 years at Georgia and Alabama. 2017, he was the assistant director of recruiting operations at Alabama. Now, I love Moose.
Cannot take him for granted.
I love Moose. Just keep working on the trail, Moose. We were worried about recruiting a little bit at the start of this show. Put your head down, do some work. Put your head down, keep working.
Yeah, fix this.
Make those rankings go back up again. Secure some of these 5-stars. Secure the bag. Secure the bag, Moose. If I knew what a moose call sounded like, I would try to imitate one, but I really don't want to try that.
Let's
right
refrain.
Now. I'm going to try to look up some during the break. I really need to get that sound bite.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Things would be so much more entertaining if I could get
every
that
time
sound
we
bite.
Get a recruit.
Moose call. Let's go to the moose desk. Take another break here. We got our daily Mount Rushmore on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to food-centered Mount Rushmores, by the way. It's been a minute since we've done a food one here. So when we come back, if you're on your way to a nice sit-down restaurant, you feel like you're going to get your fill of a feast tonight, you always have to do the starters. You have to start out with your appetizers. So we will give you our Mount Rushmore of appetizers on the other side. Don't miss it. 865-546-8200 to get on the next door home group hotline here. And we will be right back with more overtime on the other side. The truth is found to be. About to get into our daily Mount Rushmore here. 865-546-8200. Get on the next door home group hotline. Getting back to food-themed Mount Rushmores here. Just to make everybody hungry who may have still not had dinner yet. Let's get into this one here. It is our Mount Rushmore of appetizers. Let me start off with mine here. Number one, the Bloomin' Onion.
Oh,
I love the Bloomin' Onion. If you go to some other restaurants that are not Outback, They will have the Bloomin' Onion. It will be called something different for copyright reasons. Right. Texas Roadhouse has the Cactus Blossom. There's some other restaurant that has something.
It's all pretty much similar. The same, though.
But get the fried onion. Oh, you cannot beat it. So bad for you, but yet so good. You can really fill up easily on a Bloomin' Onion. Next up here, chips and queso. It's going to say chips and salsa, like the free ones you get at Mexican restaurants. But man, give me some hot queso.
Yeah.
It's worth the money. It's always going to be worth the money. Again, you can make a whole meal out of chips and queso if you want to as well. Next up, fried pickles.
Ooh, I almost put that on mine.
It goes kind of hand in hand with the Bloomin' Onion. Just pick your veggie. I go with the fried pickles a lot. Dip some fried pickles in ranch. Again, I can make a whole meal out of that. And last but not least, something I have made a meal of before, the good old mozzarella sticks.
Yes.
More often than not, I'm probably going to go with mozzarella sticks for an appetizer at most sit-down restaurants, if they are available. Unless there's a special type of appetizer I need to have. Mozzarella sticks and marinara, unbeatable combination, great late-night food, great bar food, undefeated all the time. And that is my Mount Rushmore. Who is next?
I'll go next. First up for me is the crab cakes. One of my favorite appetizers when I'm going on vacation to the beach and eating at a lot of seafood restaurants. They always have really good crab cakes. Next for me is Caesar salad. It's light. It's kind of more healthier option, you know. Always delicious in my opinion. I love the Caesar salad. Next, I had chips and salsa. One, because it's really good, and two, because it's free. I'm like the chips and queso. And then last for me are the rolls at Texas Roadhouse, my guilty pleasure.
Okay, good list. Will, you were last.
Number one, I'm going to have to go with mozzarella sticks also. I like any form of fried cheese, so I'll put that out there, actually. Fried cheese, because some restaurants like Chili's have really good cheese curds. Yeah. Sonic has amazing cheese sticks. So really any type of fried cheese you can win me over. Next, I have tater skins. I think those are so good. It's like a mini loaded baked potato. Yeah. You can't go wrong with it.
Love potato skins.
And then I got hot wings as my next one. Specifically, I'm a boneless guy. I don't want to pick off the bone.
Oh, you like eating nuggets.
Yeah.
those are nuggets.
I eat my wings with a fork.
It
might be a little shameful.
I actually like both, but...
I mean, I'll eat whatever you put in front of me, but yeah. If I'm going to have a choice, like at a restaurant, I'm obviously going to choose what I want to eat. And my last one, the sliders. I think I can make a meal out of those, especially at Chili's.
Yeah.
My go-to meal is just double order of sliders and an order of cheese curds, and it's like $13. Shout out Chili's. If
Look
we can shout out.
The menu.
Cut the check, Chili's.
Cut the check, Chili's.
That does it for today's version of Mount Rushmore. Good stuff, everybody. Speaking of sliders, though, Will, I did get like an appetizer portion of sliders as a whole meal when I was in Texas. I went to Topgolf for the first time.
How was that? I've never been.
Topgolf is amazing. It was the first time I had even swung a golf club in 10 years. I did not do terrible. I will say, I did not do terrible. It's very fun, very fun experience. But yeah, they give you food right out there. I wasn't too hungry, so I went with some buffalo chicken sliders. Went with some buffalo Ooh. Chicken sliders, and let me tell you, I don't know why that's considered an appetizer. Those were huge. I could not eat all of them. I had like two of them because two of those combined were like one big chicken sandwich. So, yeah, I could not eat three. Does anybody have a favorite restaurant-specific appetizer? Like, if it's a certain thing at this certain place, what do you have to have?
Mine was the rolls at Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, so good. I think they're my best rolls.
Yeah.
As far as if I had to pick my favorite restaurant bread,
mm-hmm.
It's got to be that second place Olive Garden breadsticks.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I'm going Texas Roadhouse rolls all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what, too? Cracker Barrel biscuits.
Those are good.
Yeah. So fluffy.
Calhoun's, the biscuits, the cornbread, and the little garlic roll. Garlic hard bread. I don't know what type of bread they are.
There's also the beer muffins.
Oh, yeah. I can't eat those. Only 17. Four more years. But
right.
Cornbread, all the good stuff.
I think you can eat the beer muffins. It just...
I don't want to risk it.
They're not gonna charge you for beer muffins. It's not actual
Hey, you never know.
It would just be too awkward to be like, hey, can I get a beer? And then she's like, no, you're too young. And then I didn't even get to finish the muffin part. It would just be really awkward. Ruin the whole experience of the restaurant. I'll just stick to cornbread.
Yeah, smart.
Got to be adventurous, man.
Smart.
Got to take some risk.
4 years.
Four
it's
more years.
It's coming up quick.
So close.
It will be here before you know it. What's one for me? I guess I got to stick with Bloomin' Onion, though.
Yeah, the Bloomin' Onion is like the iconic appetizer.
That's why you always got to root for whichever SEC team is playing in the Outback Bowl.
Because you get the Bloomin' Onion.
So you'll get the free Bloomin' Onion. I want a free coconut shrimp. Coconut shrimp actually upsets my stomach.
It's, yeah.
So, yeah, give me that Bloomin' Onion all day, every day, for sure. And we've talked about food for enough here. Out time for hour one. Hour two is on the way. 865-546-8200 to get on the Nextdoor Homebrew Hotline. We'll be back with hour two of Overtime right after this. Stay with us here on Fan Run Radio. God bless the priest, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey.